Being that we're going to be celebrating Lag BaOmer in a few days, I thought we'll devote today's shiur to that topic. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't occupy that many lines in the Shulchan Aruch. But in other Sforim, there's a tremendous amount written about this holiday. For example, the Sefer Tameh HaMinhogim has maybe 1,000 different laws in Shulchan Aruch and customs that Jews follow. And it brings sources and background information. On Lag BaOmer, there's maybe 30, 40 pages of all kinds of incredibly interesting customs and stories of tzaddikim related to this special holiday. All these Sifrei Chassidus, and especially Rabbi Nachman's Sforim, are very much intertwined with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, with his writings, with his teachings. And in fact, the story is told about one of his students, one of Rabbi Nachman's students, who was once traveling to a distant place, and they told him that the Rav of the city is a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Migla and in Ister, in the revealed part of the Torah, the hidden part. So the student decided he wanted to go in to see the Rav, to speak to him, get a bracha from him, and sure enough, he comes in and he sees Likutei Moran on his table. So he was excited. It wasn't that popular a sefer at that time while Rabbi Nachman was still living. So he said to the rabbi, you're learning this? The rabbi said, yes, you're aware of this? He said, it's my rabbi. He said, if it's your rabbi, can you tell me why does he begin his sefer with a piece about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a revelation about the greatness of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? The student was quiet. He didn't say anything because he assumed the rabbi had something special to say. He said, I'll tell you. It seems that there's a definite, strong connection between the neshama of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Nachman. And he said, you can see it in the names. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Daik Bishmo, the name of a person, has a lot to say about the person. The name Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is exactly the same numerical value as Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha. So there's obviously some kind of a strong connection. And we find that one of the main leaders of Breslov in the previous generation, who passed away in the early 1950s, Rabbi Avrom Sternhartz, also known as Rabbi Avram Koichov Leiv, who was a great-grandson of Rav Nosson Zal, he spent the first 73 years of his life in Russia. And when he finally got out of Russia and came to Eretz Yisrael, he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, I believe, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Zayin Adar, 1 week later, he was already on his way to Miron. That was one of the first events that he wanted to have in his life in Eretz Yisrael. And he went with a few students that accompanied him. And at that time, communism was in full form in Russia, in the Soviet Union. So it was just about impossible for any non-Soviet citizen to get into Russia, and especially into a city like Uman, which wasn't a tourist city. So when he arrived in Miron, after spending some time there, he turned to the people that were with him, and he told them it would seem that now, in this situation, when we don't have the option of going to Uman, it seems that this is the place, this is the station for us, for Breslovers, for Rosh Hashanah, and this is our Tachana Merkazit, our main station in Eretz Yisrael, for our connection to Rabbi Nachman. Because of the fact that this is one of the few places that Rabbi Nachman spent quality time. During his short visit in Eretz Yisrael, he spent time in Miron by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, an entire night he was up there, plus more. And his Sforim are completely intertwined with the Zohar HaKodesh and the Tikkuni Zohar. So this is a major, major station for those who have a connection to Rabbi Nachman and to Chassidus Bechlal to be connected to this great Tzaddik. And we see, interestingly, it's expanded. It's not limited to Chassidim anymore. Miron, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was more celebrated by Sfardim than Ashkenazim. It's brought that there were Sfardim who would travel from all the surrounding Sephardic countries, from Iraq, from Syria, from Iran. They would travel by donkey, by mule in those days, make the trip to come to be in Miron for the night of Lag BaOmer, and then the next morning they'd go back. And they were the ones who had rooms above the kever of Rabbi Shimon, where even today there are these small rooms there. They were the ones who occupied those rooms, wealthy Sephardic Jews who came from surrounding countries. But today we see, and there's actually a song about this, that Rabbi Shimon is for everyone, everyone. There's no type of Jew that doesn't feel a kesher to this tzaddik, just about. and doesn't celebrate, doesn't feel a connection to this important day, Lag BaOmer. In Rabbi Nachman's Sforim, there are a number of places that he speaks about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, that he speaks about the Zohar HaKadosh. I'd like to mention some of those points now that are very important things for us to take advantage of. In Sichai Saran, in Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, paragraph 108, Rabbi Nazal says there that the Zohar HaKadosh, which is written in Aramaic, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal sanctified the language of the Zohar HaKadosh, the type of phrases that he uses when he speaks about performing a mitzvah, and he says, Zakoa Ashrei, how privileged, how lucky, how fortunate is a person who's zecha to do this and this mitzvah, to perform, to daven shachris, any mitzvah he's speaking about. And when he speaks about sins, chas v'shalom, also he says, Vayle, woe is to the person that chas v'shalom allows himself to be drawn into committing this and this type of sin, whatever it is. And the wording itself is tremendously inspiring. The way it's written, the style, those specific words that I use, zakor, vai, the different expressions like that, that a person will sometimes learn the same halacha, the same idea in the Gemara, or in the Shulchan Aruch, and they'll see it in the Zohar HaKadosh with this type of terminology, and it'll be much, much more inspiring. The person will be touched by it much more and motivated to do the right thing and to avoid doing the wrong thing. In addition, Rabbi Nachman writes in the next paragraph, 109, that by the fact that Rabbi Shimon's Sefer, the Zohar HaKadosh, the Tikkuni Zohar, is all written in Aramaic, he elevated and sanctified the language of Aramaic to such a level that even other things written in Aramaic can have a tremendous, profound effect on a person. For example, when we say Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, there's a halacha that every Jew is supposed to follow the Torah portion of the week and to read it during the week, according to the Arizal, preferably Friday morning after Shachris, to read the Chumash, the Lashon Kodesh, twice and the Targum once. And the fact that the Zohar HaKadosh, that these Sforim, which were the first to really reveal secrets of Torah in a way that had never been done before from the time of creation, the fact that that was written in Aramaic elevated this language to make it incredibly effective in touching a person, in inspiring a person. Rabbi Nachman explains in other places in the Kutimran that we have Lashon Kodesh, which is holy. We have the languages of the 70 nations, which are not holy. And then we have Targum, which is a bridge. It serves as a bridge between the two. That's what unites and connects and allows all the other languages to have a connection to Lashon Kodesh, to holiness, to be connected. In paragraph 278 in Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, he points out an incredibly important thing that people aren't aware of. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a Tana. He was a student of Rabbi Akiva at one point, and then he had his own students. But he was part in the era of time of the Tanoim. We know that that's an earlier stage. And then you have the Amoiroim, who lived much later than the Tanoim, a second grouping of rabbis that are mentioned in the Gemara. And yet we find in the Zohar HaKadosh, we find reference to many Amoiroim. The question is, what are they doing there? What's the connection between them and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? And Rabbi Nachman points out that this is one of the clear ways that we see that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal communicated with his students after his passing. There were shiurim that he taught after he had already passed away. And that's why we find in certain places in the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Pinchas, it refers to the earlier book and the later book. It mentions the term of Bechibura Kadmo in the original Sefer, and then it mentions the later Sefer, referring to the Torah that was taught by Rabbi Shimon during his lifetime, and the Torah that he communicated to his students after his passing. We know that there's something similar to this a little in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the one who codified all these six sections of Mishnah, after he passed away, would return to his home Friday night to make Kiddush. until it became known by neighbors, and from that point he wouldn't do it anymore. But we know that the Torah makes it perfectly clear that tzaddikim, after they pass away, are not just alive, but in certain ways more alive than during their physical lifetime. During their physical lifetime, there are certain limitations and constrictions which, after the tzaddik passes away and his soul is no longer encased, closed in a body, the tzaddik has even more far-reaching effectiveness, more expansive. Another interesting item that's mentioned in Sichos Haran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, we find many times when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal would give a shir, and his students were so enthralled by the things that he revealed to them, the secrets he revealed to them, that they would say, Vai ledoro katistalik. Woe is to the generation when you will no longer be with us, when you're going to leave, you're going to pass away. Why were they saying that? What was the point of saying that? We know that the tzaddik is compared to Shabbos. In the Zohar Kodesh, the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai tell their rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, Antu Shabbos de Kula Yomim. If we look at ourselves as a complete unit, we're like the 6 days of the week and you're the Shabbos. And just like Shabbos provides all the shefa, all the bounty, all the life to the 6 days of the week, the spiritual life to the 6 days of the week, you are our source of spiritual life. So the tzaddik is compared to Shabbos, and we know that on Friday night, when Shabbos, when we're first taking in Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, we recite the paragraph Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, la'asos es ha-Shabbos. It's a beautiful prayer. The Arizal reveals incredible, incredible secrets in that paragraph of Vishamru. And I remember hearing once from my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, he commented a little bit sarcastically that in Chabad, the custom is that they don't say Vishamru. And when somebody was once asked, why? This is such an incredibly holy tefillah. The Arizal has pages telling us the different names of Hashem, that the different unifications, incredible action that takes place in heaven when a Jew says Vishamru. And they said, yeah, that's why we don't say it, because Shabbos is supposed to be a time of rest, menucha. This Vishamru is like like Machne Yehuda. It's like a whole major activity center. But in any case, most other Jews do say Vishamru. And there, at the end of Vishamru, we say, Uvayom HaShvi'i Shovas Vayinofash. And on the seventh day, Ki Sheshes Yomim Osa Hashem Es HaShemayim V'Soretz, in 6 days Hashem created heaven and earth, Uvayom HaShvi'i, and on the seventh day, Shovas, He rested, Vayinofash, and He rested, and everything was completed. So the Gemara asks in Be'ah, what is this Vayinofash? And the Gemara says, Vayinofash is actually a contraction of three words. Vay, Ovdo, Nefesh. Woe is to us that the soul is going to be lost. Which soul are we talking about? The additional soul that a Jew receives when we observe Shabbos, that we take in at the beginning of Shabbos, right when we get it, we start feeling terrible that we know there's a timer ticking, that this is only going to be with us for 26 hours, 20, and then it's going to leave. Lahavdil, like a small child who's given their favorite ice cream that they love the most, and they're given a little bowl of this ice cream, and the child starts eating it, and first they say, thank you to mommy, and then mommy looks at them, and they're very sad. They look very sad, and mother's, well, what's wrong? You don't like it? I love it. Then why are you sad? I'm sad because I'm going to finish it soon. And then what? So this is the feeling that we have when Shabbos is entering and we're enjoying, experiencing the high of that new soul and all the spiritual feeling of Shabbos, that we start saying, Vai ofdo nefesh, woe is to us that this is going to be leaving. And the Arizal explains that by saying that and feeling that, that's what actually magnifies and amplifies the power of that Neshama Yisera. That's what turns it on to full wattage, for the person to feel the full effects of that additional soul. By showing such love and respect for it, that we want to hold on to. We have this. We don't want to let this go. We don't want this ever to end. We don't want this ever to finish. That gives a person the ability to really experience Shabbos to its fullest. See, here again, the students of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, when they would hear Divrei Torah from him, when they would hear him revealing these profound secrets of Torah that had never been heard before in public in Klal Yisrael, they would say these words, Vai Ledora Katistalik, woe is to the generation when you're going to leave. And this again increased the love and the respect between them and him, and the connection to their rabbi took it to a whole different height. In addition to that, very often they would praise Rabbi Shimon after revealing it. They would say that there's nobody like you, and there's nothing that if we were created, if we came to the world just to hear this shir, was worth coming to the world just to hear this shir. Usually when they would say something like that, he would say, and now let's add something to that. Let's give an addition. And he would add a whole major piece of Torah, revelation of Torah. Important point for us to know, that when a person is zoche to show deep respect and love for Torah, for the one that's teaching Torah, very often that's what opens up a whole new faucet, a whole new flow to be able to receive additional Torah, as we see in the example of Rabbi Shimon. We know that in the early 1900s, there was a major change that took place in Europe, and it started in Germany, in terms of a major change in the Jewish people starting to assimilate more and more, getting involved in secular study, joining the German universities.
What years?
In the early 1900s. About a little over 100 years ago is when it started. And it expanded, and many people there got involved in it and started moving away to a large degree from the what they called old-fashioned forms of observing Yiddishkeit in the Ashkenazic world. Rabbi Nachman pointed out during his time, in the late 1700s and early 1800s, Rabbi Nachman pointed out at that time that in Germany was one of the places where the dress code started changing, where the norm for religious men in Eastern Europe, in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, the norm was that the men wore long coats. And here in Germany, the non-Jews wore these short jackets, and the Jewish people, who had been raised differently, started changing their mode of dress to dress like the non-Jews at that time, in order to assimilate, in order to feel more comfortable in that environment. And Rabbi Nachman pointed out that even though the Zohar HaKadosh was printed in Germany, there were printings of the Zohar HaKadosh in Germany, you will not find any copies of the Zohar HaKadosh in Germany. Not there, not found. And he mentioned this in association with this assimilation, like with this trend of assimilation that was taking place in Germany. He didn't go into detail about it. He mentioned at a later time that we know that there are certain people who are naturally attracted to philosophy, the study of philosophy, those types of teachings. And there are other people who find themselves magnetically drawn to Kabbalah, mysticism, Kabbalah, Hasidus. And you'll find that it's mamish, there are major differences. There are some of these people that are allergic to that, and some of those people that are allergic to this, where there are certain people who you could, a person who will study Hasidus or Kabbalah and see things that will wow them, that will really impress them. Wow, I never heard anything like that. That is such an incredible, clear interpretation or explanation of a story in the Torah or one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. And they'll tell it to somebody else and they'll look at them with a blank face. It won't do anything for them. It doesn't talk to them at all. They like learning halacha, they like learning laws, they like learning gemara, but the stories, or certainly the mysticism, the chassidus, doesn't talk to them at all whatsoever. And Rabbeinu Zal pointed out that this has to do with a person's birth. This is something that originates from birth, that there are certain people who have certain negativity in them from the time of birth that manifests itself in this form that they don't feel any attraction or any, they're not impressed in any way whatsoever by the secrets of Torah, by Kabbalah, by the Zohar Kodesh, by those types of Sforim. Whereas other people who are born with a certain Kiddusha, and they have an advantage in a sense, that they do feel an attraction to this, it talks to them, they enjoy it, etc. And Rabbi Nizal said, even those people who are born with the negative trait in a sense, they're still Bechira, they're still free choice. A person can change that in themselves. However, Rabbi Nizal said, a person has to experience major merirus. You know, a person has to go through a lot to be able to change their nature. This feeling that they were born with and that they were raised with in a certain way, to be able to change it, to be able to appreciate and enjoy this portion of Torah. We know that the Chidozal, who lived in the 1600s, he was one of the giants in the Sephardic community, who lived part of his life in Chutz Laretz, part of his life in Eretz Yisrael, and even after living in Eretz Yisrael, he was sent out to Chutz Laretz by the leaders in Eretz Yisrael to represent the religious community in Eretz Yisrael, to be able to get funding, to be able to support the people that needed financial help in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chidozal traveled a lot, and yet he wrote many Sforim. And his Sforim span every category of Yiddishkeit. Halacha, Drush, Kabbalah, everything. And in one of his Sforim, he points out, he puts tremendous emphasis on this, saying that every Jew needs to know and appreciate, whether it's more or less, at least have a certain appreciation and respect for this portion of Torah, the portion that's referred to as Sod, Secrets of Torah. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk in chapter 32, where it says, Al tihyu kisus kifered ein hovim. Don't be like a horse, like a mule who has no understanding. And he mentions that the word fered, pei resh dalet, makes up the first letters of the three basic categories of the study of Torah. Pshat, remez, and drush. Leaving out the samach, which represents sod. And he says, those people who make a conscious decision, if a person doesn't know, they never heard of it, they never were taught this or something, they can't necessarily be blamed. But those people who come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons as to why you're not supposed to learn this, or why you shouldn't learn this, or why, he says about those people, this pasuk is written, that they're limiting themselves tremendously in their ability to have a true understanding and appreciation of the Torah. They're leaving out all the spices. They're leaving out the dessert and the appetizer. They're leaving out certain very primary important things, what's called the pnimius of the Torah. There's chitzonius, there's the outer layer, and there's the inner layer. This portion of the Torah, the secrets of Torah, are referred to as pnimius, the center, the heart of the Torah. And in fact, Rabbi Nizal points out that we see in these Sforim that, for example, we know that the Torah is divided into two sections, basically. There's halacha and agada. There's the laws, the basic laws, the 613 commandments, as they appear throughout the five books of the Torah. And then there's stories. We know the entire Chumash Bereishis is 95% stories. There are a few limited mitzvahs that are sprinkled throughout the Chumash Bereishis, but most of it is stories. In Shemois, the first half of the Chumash also. And we have this in the Gemara also. We have Agarata and we have Halacha. And even though it would seem at first that the tochen, the meat of the Torah, is the Halacha, the mitzvahs, and yet when it comes to the secrets of Torah, when it comes to the depth of Torah, we find that there's much more to be found in the stories and the Agodas of the Torah than there is in the halachas. We know that the halachas also are filled with depth. There are major secrets there. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai writes in the Zohar Kodesh that the rabbis of the Mishnah, the rabbis of the Talmud, their words are filled with secrets. you know, their words can be understood on different levels, on the level of pshat, on the level of drush, on the level of sod. And he gives many examples of this. We once mentioned an example that my rabbi said. The Gemara says, there's a Mishnah that says, Ein bein Shabbos liyantuf, ela oichel nefesh bilvad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yantif is regarding food. That when it comes to food, on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to bake, you're not allowed to involve yourself in certain food preparation, which on Yantif is permissible. That's the standard interpretation. The Zohar HaKadosh gives another interpretation, the same words. Ein bein Shabbos liyantuf, elo oichel nefesh bilvad. Nefesh means a person. Ochel means eating. Bilvad means alone. The Zohar HaKadosh says, and in many Sidurim, they have this printed, in most of the Sidurim, good Sidurim, on Shabbos, in the prayers of Shabbos, you'll find after the Friday night davening, you'll find that they have a page that gives you a page of the Zohar HaKadosh that relates to the Friday night meal, that explains the significance of all the meals on Shabbos, and specifically the Friday night meal. On Shabbos morning, again, there's another page, after Musaf in many of the Sidurim, which begins B'yoyimo de Shabbata, and it quotes a page in the Zohar HaKadosh that explains the significance of all the meals on Shabbos, including the day meal. And again, same thing is true for a Sudash Lishit. So in the section related to the morning, the Zohar HaKadosh points out there that whereas on Yantif, if a Jew eats alone, if a Jew has an opportunity to have guests at their table, if there's no option, if there's nobody available, a person isn't punished for it. But if a Jew has an opportunity to have a guest at their table, a poor person who doesn't have where to eat, who doesn't have food, and they don't invite them, they choose to eat alone, then on Yantif, there's a very negative connotation to that. Hashem says, who needs your meals, who needs your... It's considered a desecration of the holiday. There's a pasuk, Chodshechem u'moyadechem son anafshi. Your holidays and your Rosh Chodeshes, Hashem says, I despise. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, it's referring to this, to a person who isn't willing to share with others who need it. They're in a position to share, they can share, there are those who need, and they choose not to.
You need to look for someone to do it, or just if you...
Whereas Shabbos is so holy. No, Shabbos in this particular, in this respect, is head and shoulders above, that the holiness is so great that even this item, it doesn't detract at all from the holiness, the specialness of the Sud of Shabbos and all of its effectiveness. Now, obviously, this is a privilege. A person should try to whatever extent they can, when the opportunity is available, to try to have a guest on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. We know that, for example, Sukkos is the example. On Sukkos we have the Ushpizen, where there's a custom to invite on the first, the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Moshe, Yosef, and David, that we recite in going into the Sukkah, we say, Azamen l'sudosi, I'm inviting to my meal these great tzaddikim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what do you mean you invite? What are you offering? Fleishiks? Melechiks? What the Zohar HaKadosh says again, that if a person has guests at their meal, those guests are standing in for Avram Avinu, for Moshe Rabbeinu. If a person doesn't, they're not really getting the full effectiveness of these Ushpizim. We know that on Pesach, at the Seder night, one of the highlights, we start the Seder with Kol Dichven Yeseh V'Yechel, Kol Ditzruch Yeh, whoever wants, whoever's hungry, come and eat. Whoever doesn't have Korban Pesach, come and join us. So on Yantif, this is something that's mandatory, and if it's missing, it weakens the effectiveness of Yantif meal. Shabbos is so great, the holiness of Shabbos is so big, that it even covers this up, it doesn't detract. Naturally, we know that on Shabbos also, it's a privilege. If a person can have a guest at the table, and they can share, we know that the tztaka that a person gives to help people with their tzorchei Shabbos, with their needs for Shabbos, is on a higher level than stocker that's given to help a person for what they need during the 6 days of the week. And one final item to close, we know there's a Gemara in Sotah where the Gemara asks, why is it that we don't know today where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried? And the Gemara answers, because if the Jews would know the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they would go there, and they would say to Moshe Rabbeinu, get up and defend us, like you did during your lifetime. Put an end to all of this suffering. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu would do it. He would get up. He would nullify the decree, regardless of whether it's the right time or the wrong time. And Hashem doesn't want that to happen. Therefore, the gravesite of Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden from us. We don't know where he's buried. Rav Nosson Zal explains in the Kutei Halachos, Moshe Rabbeinu is, the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu represents Ein Sof, the infinite. So high a level that if we, in our state today, that we're in exile, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're not pure, if we were to go there in this state, the light would be blinding in a sense. However, Hashem did not leave us as complete orphans. Hashem did give us Kivrei Tzadikim. We have the Amora Samach Pela. We have the Kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We have the graves of other Tzadikim, which we do have access to. And we know that all of them are receiving from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Rabban Shel Kol Hanaviim. He is Rabbeinu of all the Tzadikim. So that in a sense, when we go to the Forum of other Tzadikim, this is our way today of being able to connect to Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes that this is one of the most powerful, the Gemara makes a point of saying that by Shimshon HaGibor, who during his lifetime showed tremendous strength in battling the enemies of the Jews, and we find that in death, in his passing away, the Gemara says he killed more Palishtim with his passing than he did throughout his entire life. And the Gemara says, from here we learn this message, G'doylim tzadikim b'misosam yoyser mibechayim, that tzadikim are greater in death than they are during their lifetime. And this is why Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes that when we go to the kever of a tzadik and we ask Hashem to remember the merit of the tzadik, we know that when we mention the name of a person, Rav Nosson Zal says, just Shemoy Sat Tzadikim, mentioning the name of a tzaddik, in the name is included everything about that person. Now, if you would have said this 100 years ago, a person would say, what are you talking about? A name is a name. That's not the person. But today we know, you Google, when you want to know everything about a person, all you got to do is type in their name. You put in their name, and you can get pages, reams and reams of information, everything about that person, from before they were born till doomsday. So we see that it's not stam. This is a reality. And certainly on a spiritual level, in the name of a person is included everything that that person did from the day they were born to the day they left the world. So just by saying the words Moshe Rabbeinu, saying the words Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, we're activating, we're turning on lights. We're reminding Hashem of all the good deeds, every mitzvah, every tefillah, every good thing that this tzaddik did, and that itself has tremendous, tremendous power. And if a person makes the effort to travel, to go, we know we see in the Chumash, in the case of Kolev ben Yefuna, that even though it was dangerous, extremely dangerous at that time to go to Hebron, we're told that there were giants roaming around there, and Kolev put his life in jeopardy, at risk, to go to Hebron, to Daven, at the Maras HaMapela, a person would say, why didn't he just say, like we say in Shemon Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That's effective, isn't it? The answer is, it has some effect, but it can't be compared to a person who makes the effort to travel, to go, and be present, in the presence of these tzaddikim, at their kever, where a part of their neshama remains there, a part of their holiness remains there. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, we know that there's a rule that in order for a person to climb a ladder of holiness, there always has to be a yerida in order for there to be an aliyah. A person has to step down in order to go up. Now, tzaddikim who leave this world, that would seem to imply they can't climb. Because in Gan Eden, in Olam Haba, how do you have a Yerida? And Rav Nosson Zal points out that one of the ways is that when people come to the kever of a tzaddik to be mispalo there, the neshama, the soul of that tzaddik, comes down to be present, to hear their tefillah, to be able to associate, to be able to connect. And that, for the tzaddik, is considered to be a yerida, which enables the tzaddik soul to go through an additional aliyah. The tzaddik soul gets an elevation through this. So by us doing something to benefit the soul of the tzaddik, he certainly isn't gonna owe us anything. He certainly is going to make sure that he gives us much more than we give him. Rabbi Nachman once made a statement to whoever gives me, I give them. So this certainly can be applied when a person goes to Kivrei Tzadikim and enables the tzaddik to have an aliyas nisham in the process, we certainly get elevated. Halavai, at this time, when all of Klal Yisrael, all over the world, needs Yeshuas, we hear that there's a little neighborhood, it's a joke, like a place called Iceland, which you look at the map, where's Iceland? Iceland is somewhere, they're underwater, aren't they? They're in the glaciers or something. And this country is making the news, making headlines all over the world about what? That can't have a bris milah. That the 4.5 Jews in Iceland, we're not going to let them, if you do circumcision, 6 years in prison. A person would say, yeah, nothing else, there's nothing else to talk about, there's nothing else to institute laws in today's time. This is what we're looking for. And we see that the persecution, the darkness, is still quite dark in the world. With all the fluorescence and incandescence and neon, all the light, we're still in major darkness. And we hope that the tzaddikim, who are called light, or zaru al tzaddik, that if we will be able to activate their power and to empower them by learning their sforim, by studying their teachings, by visiting their kforim, by reciting tefillos in their memory, doing mitzvahs in their schus, we hope that they will, once and for all, get Hashem to really turn on the lights for the whole world to see the real truth about Hashem, about the Torah, about Klal Yisrael, with the Geula Shlema, with the coming of Moshiach, b'mehirah v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.